on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Scott, good morning, buddy.
Hey, Scott.
How's it going?
Better for us
than the team, that's for sure. Well, at least we think so. Anything new that you're hearing on the situation with Deshaun Watson?
Just that a torn surgery, done for the season, just like everybody expected.
All right. Let's cut right to this then. Do you think he has played his last down at quarterback for the Browns?
I don't think I can say that, Jeff. And they got a lot of decisions to make, and the injury that cost him the end of this season certainly is a factor. But they owe him $46 million in each of the next two seasons. It's a $73 million salary cap hit each of the next two seasons. I'm assuming Deshaun Watson is going to want to come back and collect that money and not walk away from the game. So I think he'll be back with this team. Now, will he be back as a starter? That seems like a stretch to me. I think you need to find another option at least, whether it's drafting a guy early, picking up a veteran, something, because I don't think you can count on Deshaun Watson to be your guy from an availability standpoint, and he hasn't played up to expectations and what you need him to be. But I don't think they're going to cut him, so I think he'll be back, and whether or not he plays a down, I guess it would depend on what the other quarterback, you know, how the rest of the quarterback situation plays out.
Scott, you got to walk me through this whole quarterback thing too, because I just think at the beginning of the day when they said that DTR was the backup and Jameis was going to be the inactive quarterback for yesterday's game, I'm like, everybody else that sees that, you're trying to read into it. Are you trying to say to yourself that prior to the injury now, were they thinking, well, maybe Deshaun is going to find himself on the bench here if play continues because they need to find a different way to get this done? Are they thinking that they want to showcase DTR? Are they thinking that they want to hold back Jameis because they might be thinking about trading him? Like, or do they think the future is DTR? Or do they want to get a look at DTR? So I think all of those questions were kind of building up before the game happened. And so, like, I'm still trying to I know they said that it was just like there was an offensive package that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there was an offensive package that made them feel stronger about having DTR as the backup rather than having Jameis. I just kind of walk me through your thoughts on this, where they're at, and what you're thinking they're thinking at quarterback then and now.
Yeah, we'll start with then. It was a coach's decision. I think a few factors played into why DTR jumped ahead of Winston on the depth chart for the game yesterday. Kevin Stefanski said they weren't going to use Winston as the quarterback sneak guy, which had been successful early and had flopped lately, including on that 3rd-and-1 handoff to Tillman against the Eagles. So if you're not going to use Winston as that package, then it's kind of an even playing field. Decide who's going to be your backup. Stefanski went with DTR. I think it's reasonable to conclude to some degree that, yes, Watson's been so bad that there's a chance that he could have been benched yesterday for play. We're talking before the game. And the Browns had decided that DTR was the guy they wanted to go with, at least for that week. When you look long-term, it makes sense to give DTR more reps than Winston. I think there's a chance that DTR could turn into something. I think you know who Jameis Winston is. And I think the other factor in that is, I talked about that 3rd-and-1 handoff to Cedric Tillman that lost 5 yards and then they missed a field goal. It turns into a big play in that loss to the Eagles. Stefanski took blame after the game for that play call, but he also mentioned there was some miscommunication. And I think he trusted Winston to make the right read or check or whatever it is at the line of scrimmage. And he didn't do it because he ran the play right into Brandon Graham standing there. So if you have that guy and you trust him for the one play he's out there and he fails you in a critical situation, I think the coaches maybe felt burned by that, and that played into the decision to go with DTR as your number two.
So next week, Baltimore Ravens. I would think that if you're trying to win football games, Jameis Winston would be your guy. I would think if you're looking ahead to the future, DTR would be your guy. Is that fair, and what do you think they'll do?
I think that's reasonable, Jeff. I think you could make an argument if you're the Browns that DTR probably gives you as good a chance as Winston. You can point to the preseason, and I know it's the preseason, but DTR played well in the preseason and probably and looked better than Winston did, for whatever that's worth. We know Jameis Winston has flaws. We also know he has some good strengths. You know, he has some strength, and he's played well and thrown for a ton of yards in this league. He also throws a bunch of interceptions. I personally agree with you. If you have to go beat the Ravens, I think Winston gives you the best chance. I think if you want to see what the young guy has, I also think that makes sense. Now, how, you know, we have to find out about DTR's finger that could make the decision for the Browns. What bothered me, if you're the Browns, or I think if you're the Browns, what bothered you is DTR did not look, did not play well yesterday. I'm trying to come up with the right word. Did not play well yesterday when he came off the bench for Watson. It felt, the moment felt big for him. He, you know, ran and tried to hurdle guys. He was throwing, I thought he threw the ball at full velocity on every play, no matter if the receiver was 4 yards from him or 25 yards from him. Threw two interceptions. He fumbled a ball in the pocket. Like, there were a bunch of, quote-unquote, rookie mistakes that he made. And he said it after the game. It reminded him of his performance against the Ravens last year when he made that surprise start. And that was a terrible performance where the Browns had to go to somebody else after that, right? They go to P.J. Walker. So I think I'd be a little scared if I were the Browns to go with DTR again, given the performance yesterday. So I would lean toward Winston, especially given the losing streak, given where the Browns are. I think if you go with Winston, there's a chance to win a game and at least settle things down. And you can always go to DTR after the bye or whenever you want to, and you can get a long sample size of him as a starter.
Scott, I don't know if this is just kind of lost in the woodwork, but Jeff and I were talking about this. Look, outside of two games this season, they've been within a touchdown of winning. But when you look at the offense, and like the Associated Press had reported that the Browns are the only team, not only in the NFL, but in FBS college football to not hit 20 points this year. That's unbelievable and just sad. I mean, we're talking about 1999 level of offense. That's how bad things have been so far. I'm not asking to fix it. In fact, I'm just going to ask you this. Does the defense deserve a little bit more love for yesterday's loss than maybe they – I think they get lumped into the whole thing on this.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy stat, the FBS part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at that and you go, oh, the defense – well, the defense gave up two touchdowns, right, because they had the 100-yard kickoff return to start the game.
Right.
So two touchdowns to Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, that's not too much.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, could the defense – play better? Sure. Could it be more dominant? Sure. Could Greg Newsom, you know, make a play, or Cam Mitchell make a tackle on the Higgins thing? Yes. But when you take a step back, two touchdowns of that offense is more than respectable, gives you a chance to win. But now you point the finger at the special teams, because yes, the offense is awful, and that's the bottom line, and that's what's killing this team more than anything. But if you talk about getting out of this losing streak and playing complimentary football, which the coaches say nonstop, and Bubba Ventrone, the special teams coordinator, says every week, then that means everybody pitches in. So the defense did its part yesterday. The offense barely did, but whatever. It scored 14 points. That's a tie game, except special teams gives up 7 points, misses an extra point, and misses a field goal. So even when you're there as a team, you can't get over that hurdle because, you know, you're trying to overcome the poor offense. You still can't do it because the rest of the team is letting you down, whether it's the defense in one game or the special teams yesterday. And that's just a sign of how bad things are. And when you're being a bad football team, this is how you lose games. You figure out a new way to lose one every week.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. Wide receivers yesterday. Whatever Elijah Moore did, it wasn't so egregious that he didn't get the play for the majority of the game, so that was weird. And I thought Cedric Tillman looked like the guy we were hoping Cedric Tillman might be able to become, and I can't wait to see more of him. What'd you think?
Yeah, the Moore thing was weird. You know, he declined a couple interviews last week, so I think he's frustrated by his situation, and you know, he hadn't gotten a ton of reps, and you know, we saw him be frustrated with the Jets a couple years ago. So however that manifested itself, where the Browns said, we're not going to play you except for the one, you know, in the first quarter or however many drives it was, except for the one trick play we worked on and we need to put you out there to flip the ball to Watson. So that's not a great sign. And you need him because you traded Amari Cooper. Tillman, yeah, that's encouraging. And you see the reasons the Browns like him and thought that he could make a big jump in year two. He's got good size. He runs pretty well. You know, I think he's got good hands. Now, you do have to take into account he and Dorian Thompson-Robinson go back to high school together. So there's a natural connection. DTR looks for Tillman, which adds to this, but he came through and then he catches a two-point conversion from Winston. So, yeah, if you're looking for a bright spot in that another terrible loss with so much else going on, I think Cedric Tillman is certainly one.
As we get closer to November 5th, and the other part of it, like, I think everyone wants to talk about fans that were cheering. Scott, you were sitting there, and I was on the other side of the wall. I was talking with Jamel, and we were watching the game on TV, so I didn't hear it as loud, and I was watching the injury, and I was more focused on the injury than I was on what the crowd was doing. But I mean, that's what a lot of people want to talk about today, because the players made that abundantly clear yesterday. Just your thoughts on that. We'll start with that.
Yeah, I understand why the players are upset. I think they can all picture themselves in that spot, being on the ground, thinking your season's over or your career might be over, whatever those thoughts go through your head, and hearing anybody cheer, let alone the home crowd. And I think they can relate to that, and it really affected them, like, on a human, visceral level, because I don't think that was staged. You know, I thought Myles Garrett and Jameis Winston and Greg Newsome, whoever talked about it, I thought that was their honest emotions. Having said that, I think they went too far in how they characterized Deshaun Watson. You know, Myles Garrett talked about how nobody can take the moral high ground, and that's fine, and I get that part of the argument. But you can't pretend like there's no reason not to like Deshaun Watson. Now, that doesn't mean you should cheer. I don't condone cheering a guy being injured. But I don't think you can portray Deshaun Watson as a martyr, given, you know, especially only the off the field things. Now, I don't know if that's why people booed. People might have booed just because he hasn't played well, and that doesn't excuse it. Nothing excuses it. But we all know how polarizing a figure Deshaun Watson has been. So I think you have to at least remember that when you're talking about the ugliness of the cheers.
Do things go nuts before the trade deadline, or do they stand pat and think of next year?
I don't think they stand pat. I think there's trades to be made. I don't expect, you know, a huge blow up or tear down. I think you have to consider it. If you're the Browns, I think you have to think about it. From our perspective, could this come? But I don't think you get rid of, you know, you try to trade Myles Garrett. I don't think you try to trade Denzel Ward or David Njoku. I think this roster, there's pieces on it that if you figure out the quarterback situation and now figure out the receiver situation, you can win moving forward. Where you see turnarounds in this league, you see what's going on in Washington because they have a good young quarterback. There's no reason that can't be the Browns next year. So I don't think they tear it up. But could they trade Za'Darius Smith? Certainly. Quentin Jefferson, the D-tackle. Jed Wills. I know he struggled yesterday, and, you know, the Browns have not signed him to an extension, so he's in the last year of his contract. I think there's a lot of teams out there that would look for a left tackle. And if you can get something back, I don't know what that pick would be. Could you get a third-round pick for Jed Wills, a starting left tackle? You might be able to do that, and I think that's the kind of trade you could see the Browns making, guys that they don't consider part of their future.
Scott, we will listen for you in Kevin Stefanski's press conference later today. Thank you, buddy. Great insight.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work as he covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. I'd love to hear some of your thoughts. Do you want to see the Browns trading major pieces away? I'll tell you what I think next on Baskin and Phelps.